Chapter 6. Long John Silver. The visit to my mother was brief. I found her in high spirits since the squire had paid for complete repairs for the inn. I'd never seen it looking so bright and tidy. When it came time to go, I felt a pang at leaving that part of my life behind. I had a suspicious fear that I would never feel completely home again. I slept through much of the ride to Bristol and awoke to find myself in the bustling city. Squire Trelawney had taken a room at an inn along the docks. Though I had grown up along the shore, it seemed I had never truly seen the sea as I saw it that day. As I passed among sailors on the docks, I realized I would soon take a place among them. I was going to sea. As soon as the squire spied me, he shouted, "Here you are! Now our ship's company is complete. We can sail tomorrow." After a quick breakfast, the squire handed me a note for Long John Silver. "Follow the line of the docks," Squire Trelawney said, "until you see a small tavern with a large brass telescope for a sign. You'll find him there." I found the tavern easily enough. It was a pleasant place with red curtains and freshly sanded floors. I spotted a tall man who must be Silver. His left leg was cut off close to the hip, and he used a crutch under his left shoulder. He hopped around much like a quick bird. As he moved among the tables, Silver offered a merry word or a cheery slap on the shoulder to many of the customers. At first, I was a bit nervous when I heard we'd be shipping off with a one-legged man. I hadn't forgotten my nightmares brought on by the old captain's fears. But Silver seemed such a friendly giant that I plucked up my courage and walked right up to him. "Mr. Silver, sir," I said as I held out my note. Silver took the note and then my hand in his firm grasp.
"You must be our new cabin boy. I'm pleased to see you. I can tell by looking at you that you're smart as paint."
Just then, one of the customers near the far door stood and darted out. I recognized him at once.
"Black Dog," I cried. "Oh, stop him. It's Black Dog."
"Harry, run and catch him," Silver directed.
And a man leaped up and raced after the pirate.
"Now, who did you say he was?"
"Black Dog, sir," I said. "He is one of the pirates that ransacked my home."
"He did," Silver roared. "Now there, Tom Morgan. You were talking to the man. What did he have to say?"
A gray-haired sailor shrugged.
"He was telling me about keel-hauling."
A shudder passed through me as I thought about keel-hauling, where a ship dragged a man under its keel. Just then, Harry came back and reported that Black Dog had slipped away on the crowded dock. Silver rubbed his face with his hand and looked at me.
"I do believe that man you called Black Dog has been here before with a blind beggar."
"Pew,"
I gasped.
"Yes, that was his name," Silver agreed. "Pew. Well, I hope Squire Trelawney thinks none the worse of me for the men who've come into my tavern."
Then we set off together to head back to the squire. Silver was filled with stories of the ships we passed and laughed freely as he told them. Soon I was caught up in his laughter and laughed along, even when I didn't quite understand the joke. When we reached the squire, Dr. Livesey sat with him. Long John Silver reported the sighting of Black Dog and apologized for not capturing the scoundrel.
"Well, it sounds like you did your best," the squire said. "I'll want all hands aboard by 4 this afternoon." "Aye, aye, sir," Silver said, saluting with his crutch before stomping off.
"I must say, that man suits me," Dr. Livesey said.
"He was a great find." "And now," the squire said, "shall we all go see the ship?"